AFR app is a powerful tool, but it does have limitations. You can't use it to change the oil in your vehicle or get rid of carpet stains. It won't walk the dog, won't pick up the dry cleaning, or take the kids to practice. But while you're doing those things, you can listen to your favorite AFR content through the app on your phone, smart device, or Roku. Just go to your app store or visit AFR.net. Listen to AFR wherever you go with the AFR app.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Monday morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hope you had a wonderful weekend. We had a great weekend in my household. We got together with the grandkids and met in Tyler. My youngest daughter lives in Tyler now. She has three wonderful kids that she married into, and my three grandkids from the Woodlands that we all met in Tyler, and just got together for the kids to play together and for us to be together. And so we praise the Lord for that. My 10-year-old granddaughter, Lyndon, she was in the car with us driving. It's about a 2.5-hour drive from Texarkana to Tyler. And we had so much fun with her. She's just so precocious, and the things that she says just made us laugh out loud. We were asking her about if there were any boys that she liked. And she said, no, right now I'm just focusing on my education. And so we got a big kick out of that. Well, I wanted to read to you from familiar passage. We've read it a number of times on the program, Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59 verse 14 says, "Justice is turned back and righteousness stands far away, for truth has stumbled in the street and uprightness cannot enter. Yes, truth is lacking." There's a reason why we call this program Real Truth for Today, because truth is lacking. And as Paul told Timothy in the very last letter that he ever wrote, in the last chapter, he told him to preach the word, because the time will come when men will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled. That's scratching behind the ears. Think about when you do that to a dog or a cat. They love that when you scratch behind their ears. So the time's going to come where people will want to have their ears tickled, so to speak. They want to have their ears scratched and make me feel good. That's the emphasis there. So they will accumulate to themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. You know, the Bible says in two different places, Proverbs 14:12 and Proverbs 16:25, the same verse, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." Seems right, but it's not right. And so I've stated this many times from the pulpit. Truth is not what you think. It's not what you feel. It's not what you want it to be. Truth is what God says. John 17:17, Jesus said in his great high priestly prayer, praying to his Father, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Father, set apart my disciples in the truth." And what is that? Your word. Your word is truth. And God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. That's how we understand truth. Now, I was listening to Matt Walsh. He was talking about the day and age in which we live and how truth has stumbled in the street, so to speak. He didn't use that verse, but he was basically saying the same thing. And he talked about how day and age in which we live, people are just, they don't want truth. They just want truth to be whatever. And this is from the lady that used to run NPR. He quotes her, and then he actually plays her saying this, but it has to do with truth. And it has to do with artificial intelligence. You know, you need to be very careful with AI, because AI has a bent to it. I call out AI all the time. I use Grok on the X platform, and I'll get Grok in arguments and say, I feel like I'm talking to CNN. Oh, no, I'm Grok. I'm totally impartial. But Grok is not impartial. And one of the things that I found that is helpful with using AI is always preference, especially if you're trying to find out something that is related to the Bible. From a conservative Christian perspective, what do conservative Christians say about X? What do they say about this passage? What do they say about this theological question? That helps you weed out the riffraff of the liberals. But this is Matt Walsh talking about truth today, because he says that the prevailing wisdom from the culture is truth really doesn't matter all that much.
So the crazy Google AI overseer and the crazy Anthropic AI overseer are both liberal women. They're both spewing the exact same anti-white rhetoric as explicitly as they possibly can. And to top it off, they're both doing it with similar accents. You know, what are the odds of that? Not to be left out, in case you were wondering, NPR CEO and former Wikimedia CEO Catherine Marr appears to lack this particular accent. She's the executive who famously said that truth doesn't actually matter. What matters, she says, is that we all just get along. It's one of the most feminine statements ever uttered on camera. Watch.
But one of the most significant differences, critical for moving from polarization to productivity, is that the Wikipedians who write these articles aren't actually focused on finding the truth. They're working for something that's a little bit more attainable, which is the best of what we can know right now. And after 7 years there, I actually believe that they're onto something. That for our most tricky disagreements, seeking the truth and seeking to convince others of the truth isn't necessarily the best place to start. In fact, I think our reverence for the truth might have become a bit of a distraction that is preventing us from finding consensus and getting important things done.
The truth is a distraction. I mean, I really can't think of anything that summarizes leftism more than that. That statement really sums it up. The truth is a distraction.
Just amazing. The truth is a distraction. And we aren't focused on finding the truth. Unbelievable. You remember when Jesus had his back and forth with Pilate? It goes like this. Pilate therefore entered again into the praetorium and summoned Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Are you saying this on your own initiative, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate answered, "I'm not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests delivered you up to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting that I might not be delivered up to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm." Pilate therefore said to him, "So you are a king." Jesus answered, "You say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no guilt in him." Now, when Pilate said, "What is truth?" That's a question, but it was a rhetorical question. He wasn't asking like, "Oh, tell me more, Jesus, what is truth?" I think it was a dismissive, "Ah, yeah, right, what is truth?" Well, according to Karen Marr, the head of NPR, truth doesn't matter, because what really matters is just consensus, and we're really not focused on finding the truth. Well, truth matters significantly. If you don't have the truth, you don't have the life. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. Jesus said, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Without the truth, guess what? You're not going to be made free. It was not Karen Marr, Catherine Marr. We used to have a Karen Marr that worked there. Catherine Marr. And she was the head of NPR. And anyway, truth doesn't matter to her. It's just consensus. And so, you know, that's where we get into this transgender insanity. Well, we hear from the left, we're the party of science. But when it comes to something as basic as male and female, XY male, XX female, that is rooted in science, scripture, and common sense, they say, oh, no, 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 that's fluid. That's fluid. It's whatever you think. I saw a back and forth between Bill Maher and the guy that played in Arrested Development. I can't remember his name. He played Tobias Fuqua and Funke or whatever his name was in the show Arrested Development. And they were talking about transgenderism. And Bill Maher, you know, even though he's a big atheist liberal, he understands that transgenderism is insanity, especially when it comes to kids. David Cross was his name. My engineer Jay is doing a great job correcting me and giving me information. So David Cross is the actor's name. Anyway, so they're having this argument, and you know, it's a friendly argument, but David Cross said, well, you know, kids tell us who they are. And Bill Maher said, yeah, that's right, because an eight-year-old really is who we need to be taking our advice and counsel from. You know, I was watching a clip this morning from a pastor, and he was talking about the Bible tells us that kids are fools. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline will remove it far from him. You don't take advice from an eight-year-old. You don't ask an eight-year-old, well, what are you? Oh, I think I'm a pirate. Okay, well, let's go to the doctor. We'll get your leg cut off and we'll attach a piece of wood to it and we'll rip your eye out and get you an eye patch and we'll cut off your hand and get you a hook. I mean, that is insane. And so you just look at that child and say, that's not true. Now, we've played some clips on the program, Jordan Peterson, for example, where he talked about one of the Disney executives said, well, I have, I think she had three children and two of them were trans and one was pansexual or something like that. And he said that the odds of that being true are astronomically against that you would have three children and all three of them have this issue. He said, I don't even know what pansexual means, but the odds of you having that are astronomically against it. But the odds of you being a devouring mother who is destroying her kids' lives, well, they're off the charts in terms of that's the real issue. And so as one person pointed out, and this is really true, parents who are pushing their kids toward the trans insanity, they're going to fight for their position until the death because the truth is too horrific for them. If they were to face the truth that this is what I did to my child, and I was pushing them into a lie and telling them this was the way it was, well, how could I live with myself? Debbie and I just watched a documentary on the fundamentalist Latter-day Saints. I forget what it was called. Trust Me, I'm a False Prophet or something like that. It was a documentary about this guy in Arizona, and he had convinced all these women that he was the prophet of God, and he had all these wives, and he was having underage wives. It was a lot like Muhammad, and it was so sickening. And the father who had given his own wife and his five daughters to this guy, to this sexual deviant false prophet, he finally had to come to grips with the fact that this is what I did to my own kids. And I convinced them that this guy was the prophet of God when he was really Beelzebul, the prince of demons, as it says in the New Testament. He was a deceiver. Well, the battle for the truth. Our job is to speak the truth in love. Our job is to know the truth. Sanctify them in the truth, Jesus said. Your word, Father, is truth. And we need to spend time in the Word of God so we know the truth of God and we can speak the truth in love. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We'll be right back after the break.
This June marks 3 years since the overturn of Roe. But did you know that since then, the number of abortions has surged to a 10-year high? Preborn Network clinics continue to support women facing unplanned pregnancies, showering them with God's love and providing free ultrasounds. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, she's twice as likely to choose life.
It was like the beginning of my healing journey. They do an ultrasound. That's when everything changed. When I saw my baby and when I heard her heartbeat, that was it.
$28 sponsors one ultrasound and $140 helps to rescue five babies. Your generous tax-deductible donation also helps to provide women who choose life with assistance for up to 2 years. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, and we are talking about the battle for the truth. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Well, I had mentioned to you last week that I like to visit the site on the X platform called Protestia. They show lots of clips from churches all over the nation and to let us know this is what is going on under the banner of church. And it is very disturbing because so many churches have gone away, just as Paul said was going to come. The time will come, Timothy, when men will turn aside from the truth, turn aside to myths. Why? Because they want to feel good about things. They want to have their ears tickled. And so they're going to jettison the truth and abandon the truth. And you say, why is that so important? I mean, Kathleen Marr said, doesn't matter. It's just consensus that matters. We just want to feel good. We're not focused on finding the truth. Everything is based on truth. Everything that matters is based on truth. Your engineer can't build a bridge with just saying, well, I'm going to do whatever I feel like on the math. It doesn't work like that. It has to be based on reality, based on truth. You know, in math, 2 + 2 = 4. It doesn't equal 5. It doesn't equal 3. It doesn't equal 4.1. It equals 4. Anything else is wrong. And if you're trying to build something where it's wrong on, you know, you just made up fantasy equations, well, guess what? Your bridge isn't going to hold up. It's going to fall apart and people are going to die. And that's why truth is so important, because if you don't know the truth, you're not set free and you're on the highway to hell. In that documentary that I was mentioning that we watched about the false prophet of the fundamentalist Latter-day Saints Church, those people finally came to the realization that we believed a lie. And this one girl on camera, I say she's a girl, she had grown up in this cult. Well, she finally comes out of the ether, so to speak, as a woman in her 20s. And she said, that is all I knew my whole life. And my whole life was built on a lie. Everything I believed, everything I had been taught, every decision I made was all based on a lie. Now, it is horrifying to think that, and I still see in my mind the dad who gave his daughters to this sick, twisted 2 Peter chapter 2 false prophet, this Jude, the book of Jude false prophet. They're always sexually perverted. and gave his daughters to them and encouraged his daughters to be with this guy, his underage daughters, and had to come to the realization that I've destroyed my kids that were given to me by God to protect them as a dad. That's a hard thing to come to grips with. Well, truth matters. And it's so much better to come to grips with the fact that I'm believing a lie now than to wake up in hell, as the rich man did in Luke chapter 16, and realize my whole life I believed a lie. I love the story that I was taught in seminary. Calvin Miller, the author and teacher and pastor, he shared this story about a Bedouin. And he said the Bedouin is in his tent one night. He's got the his lantern on, and he's getting ready to go to sleep. But before he goes to sleep, he wants to eat some dates. So he grabs a date from the dish, and he looks at it. It has a worm in it. And so he puts it over to the side, grabs another date, getting ready to take a bite. He looks at it, has a worm in it. Grabs a third date, getting ready to take a bite. That third date had a worm in it. And so what does he do? He blows out the light and eats the dates. Unbelievable. But that's what people do. Hey, don't confuse me with facts. Don't confuse me with the truth. Just turn out the light so I can enjoy my dates and just pretend that all is well. Listen, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. If you don't have truth, you don't have anything. Now, I ran across Protestia. I ran across this clip from this lady who claims to be a pastor. Her name is Anna Flowers. They say on her bio, the senior pastor at United Church in Walpole, Massachusetts. She's been there since 2016, and they have a small congregation. They say small but mighty. It's mostly a bunch of women who are in this for, you know, they've latched on to this social justice movement and all that baloney. But she was talking, this is her quote-unquote sermon, saying that John 14:6, where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me, is not to be taken literally. And surely it's not true. This is what she said.
I am the way and the truth and the life. And here's the kicker. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, for centuries, for millennia, Christians have used those words as a proof text to do all kinds of awful things in the world, to punish people for not being Christian or not being their version of Christian, to punish or condemn people for all kinds of beautiful diversity that we see in the world, not to bless the world, but to condemn it. All kinds of awful things have come from those little words. Now, here's the thing. Before we even dive in, we have to get one thing straight. Jesus did not come into this world to preach and to teach a my way or the highway kind of religion.
Well, I'm going to stop it there. Of course he did, because he is the way. He's not a way among many ways. He is the way. Adrian Rogers used to say, Jesus is not a good way to heaven. He is not even the best way to heaven. He's the only way to heaven. He is God in the flesh. This lady has the idea that all these other religions, all these paths lead to God. Well, she doesn't understand who Jesus is. She's been to seminary and all the training, and she's been taught lies, and she now is spewing lies. But evil men and imposters, 2 Timothy 3:13, but evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. And she is deceived, and she is deceiving. And let's hear how she continues this this message that is just a disaster.
Absolutely not. And in every other one of the Gospels, people come to Jesus and they ask him point blank, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus's answer is this: follow the Ten Commandments, love God, be an ethical person, do the right thing.
He never said that, be an ethical person. He said, you know the commandments. And he starts listing off the commandments. And the guy said, all these things I have done from my youth up, what do I still lack? Well, Jesus was nailing him to the wall with the law. The law was given, as it says in Galatians chapter 3, to become our tutor, to lead us to Christ. The law shows us that we can't live up to the law. And this guy was still trying to justify himself by the law. And then Jesus said to him, okay, well, one thing you lack, sell all that you have, give it to the poor, come follow me and you have treasure in heaven. You'll have treasure in heaven, come follow me. And the man went away poor, went away sad because he was one who owned much property. Well, what was Jesus getting at? Hey guy, you're missing the number one commandment of the 10. I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. And his God was gold. His God was stuff. And that was before God. Here's your problem. You think you've have fulfilled all these commandments. You missed the first one because you have another God. And when I tell you, hey, you need to get rid of this God that's money. He's the only person that Jesus ever told that to. This lady makes it sound like he did that on a daily basis. No. You need to get rid of your idol in your heart and in your life, which is money and possessions, and follow me. Well, how do I get rid of that idol? Give all that you have to the poor. And like I said, that's the only time he ever said that. He didn't say that to other people. Didn't say that to Zacchaeus, because Zacchaeus was repentant. He had a repentant heart. Zacchaeus was the one, after he trusted Jesus, he said, Lord, half my possessions I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay them back four times as much. And Jesus said, salvation has come to this house. How did we know salvation came to this house? Because Zacchaeus wanted to give. He wanted to make it right. He wanted the Lord to be Lord of his heart. Let's continue on with this train wreck of a message.
Where the person who's asking, how do I inherit eternal life, follows up and says, well, who is my neighbor? And he says, the person who is on the way to eternal life, the person who has got it, who loves God and loves their neighbor, it can even be a Samaritan, somebody who is not of our religion, not of our tribe, not of our ethnicity, and worships God in a completely different way. That person can inherit eternal life. So again,
that person can inherit eternal life if they repent and put their faith and trust in Jesus. That's the whole message of the gospel. That's the good news. No matter what you've done, no matter who you are, no matter where you've been, you can repent and put your faith and trust in Jesus and be cleansed and be forgiven and be washed white as snow. As the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 1, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you consent and obey, you'll eat the finest of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you'll be devoured by the sword. Truly, the mouth of the Lord has spoken. God, he does not take pleasure in anyone who perishes. Do I have pleasure? Ezekiel 18. Do I take pleasure in the death of anyone who dies? No. Therefore, repent and live. God is not willing, 2 Peter chapter 3, for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. 1 Timothy chapter 2, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. But there is the broad road that leads to destruction, and then there's the narrow road that leads to life. This lady doesn't get it at all. And this is how she finishes her message.
Jesus in the Gospel of John is now preaching and teaching this radically different message that you have to follow God in a certain way. You have to say the Jesus prayer just like this. You have to be part of our tribe, or you have to be part of our faith, or you have to claim Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or you won't get into the kingdom of heaven. Makes no sense when you look at it in light of this consistent character of Jesus. Jump into my hands, Jesus is saying. Look into my eyes. I am the way into this pool. And we as Christians get to jump, get to leap, not because it is an exclusive experience, but because it's authentic, because it is true alongside other truths in the world. And so this is my heart and my hope for you, that when you encounter this scripture, and maybe you'll encounter some Christians who think very differently about it, you'll be able to explain to them and help them understand that anytime you're talking about the Gospel of John, and especially anytime you're talking about a conversation with Thomas, Jesus is not to be taken literally, but metaphysically.
Good grief. I feel for the people that go to her church. I mean, you are just being fed lies. Jesus is not talking literally, but metaphysically. What does that even mean? Obviously, he's talking literally. And when you understand who Jesus is, the God-man, as much man as though he were not God at all, as much God as though he were not man at all, very God of very God, very man of very man, he's the only begotten Son who died on the cross for the sins of the world and was raised from the dead on the third day. We have the message that everyone needs to hear, and listening to her is like listening to the devil in Genesis 3. Indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? That surely doesn't sound right. And so we're able to now, because we're so enlightened, to put her thoughts into different words, we're so enlightened we can tell people, oh, of course, John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. He didn't mean it like that. It's just one truth among many truths. You know, it's interesting in Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, where it talks about the people who are in hell, the people that like the rich man in Luke 16, end up in hell. But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or a comment, I would love to hear from you. So give me a call and let's talk.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program, Pastor Jeff. We're opening the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or comment, I'd love to take your call. We're talking about the battle for the truth. Truth has stumbled in the streets, as the prophet Isaiah said, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds are evil, Jesus said, and so people reject the truth. They'd rather have their ears tickled, prophesy to us illusions, speak to us pleasant words, they said in Isaiah. Let us hear no more about the Holy One of God, the Holy One of Israel. Well, people need to hear about the Holy One of God, and people need to be confronted with the truth, and we speak the truth. Our command from the Lord, our commission from the Lord, is to speak the truth in love. Because if people don't hear the truth, well, then they can't be saved. I'm so grateful that somebody shared the truth with me. Now, it may not be very fun to hear it, but you have to hear it. I preached Sunday about from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, where Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how will it be made salty again? It is good for nothing except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do men light a lamp and put it under a basket, but they put it on the lampstand, and it gives light to the whole house." And so we are to let our light shine. You don't make the light shine, you let the light shine. And salt, you know, we think about salt. Salt has many, many uses. 14,000, it says in the literature, 14,000 uses for salt. Well, I had mentioned several different things that salt does that we're very familiar with. Obviously, salt is a seasoning. We put salt on our food. If you had to cook without salt, food would be very, very bland. And so salt is seasoning. Christians are seasoning in this world. And salt has a medicinal purpose. You know, many of us, when we get a sore throat, what do we start doing? We start gargling with salt water, because salt is a natural antiseptic. And one of the things about salt, speaking the truth in love, salt, when you put it into a wound, we have that phrase, it's like salt in a wound. That burns, because the properties of salt, if you put it into an open cut, it will burn. If you have a cut and you go to into the ocean, into the salt water, it will burn. Now, it heals because it has healing properties, but it hurts before it heals. And we speak the truth in love. The truth can be painful to hear, but people desperately need to hear it. You know, we sometimes will sit down with a person that's deep in drug or alcohol addiction, and they're believing a lie that they have this thing under control, and they have an intervention. What do? You have people that love this person. They get together with this person, and they tell them the truth. You're not able to see what's really going on in your life. Your life is totally out of control. They tell them the truth. They speak the truth in love, and hopefully that person responds to it. We can be so blinded by our own sinfulness and selfishness that we can't see the truth. Everybody has blind spots to a certain degree. And just like when you're driving, you know, you need somebody to look over, hey, see if I can change lanes, because you've had the experience, I've had the experience of thinking it's clear, and you drift over and you hear a horn, and now the cars will let you know if you're getting ready to do that. They'll let you know, hey, there's a car there. But back in the day, it was just you having to check your blind spot. We all have them, and we need accountability, and we need help to make sure we're not going to go off the rails. And so truth hurts, but truth heals. And once the hurt does its work in a person's heart, then they can turn to the help. And as it has well been said, the word of God is a sword. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and the word of God is a two-edged sword, and it cuts to bleed, and then it cuts to bless. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840, and we have Ronnie on the line from Georgia. Ronnie, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, Pastor Jeff.
Hey.
How are you?
Good. How are you, Ronnie?
I'm just fine. I seen another lady that was a pastor on YouTube, and she was saying that there needs to be a third testament, because she didn't agree where it says a woman cannot be the lead pastor of a church.
Yeah.
The Bible.
Yeah, unbelievable.
And she just didn't like it.
Right.
Wouldn't she be rebelling, a rebel?
Sure. She's deceived and deceiving. She's an imposter. But evil men and imposters, men as men and women, evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. And so it sounds right to her that we should write a third testament. So we have the Old Testament and New Testament, and then the New and Revised New Testament that it, you know, feels good to us. Well, you can do that if you want, but it's the Word of man. It's not the Word of God. And it's 2 + 2 = 5, and that's not going to work because it's not true. You just make it up.
Right. And Pastor Jeff, one more thing. I run into a lot of people that say they're a Christian, but they think once they're saved, God has put them on a nice and naughty list. And how can I convince them that that's not what salvation is?
What do you mean by that, a nice and naughty list, that they get in the doghouse with the Lord?
They believe that once they repent and ask the Lord to save them, they're saved. They believe they're saved, but then they believe it's up to them by good works and things, going to church every time a door's open. You know the list, but
right.
they believe they're in a partnership with Jesus.
Right. Yeah, that's the Galatians situation. That's what Paul said to the Galatians. He said, "You foolish Galatians, who has put a spell on you, who has bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith?" He said, "Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh?" Now, it is true. I mean, we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And that, as you therefore, Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord by grace through faith, so walk in him. And the Christian life is by grace through faith. Now, do we put forth effort in seeking the Lord? Yes. Will the Lord do that for us? No. Does he have a quiet time for us? "Lord, I'm going to go play video games while you have a quiet time." No, it doesn't work like that. We press into Jesus, but we don't grow by effort. We grow by grace through faith. And as we avail ourselves to the Lord, as we come before him with a soft and tender heart, as Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, "I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship." So we come before him and we say, "Lord, I surrender. I'm yours. I belong to you. You've saved me. Jesus, be Jesus in me." Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, "I've been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me." So there is a sense where, I mean, we have to yield ourselves to Jesus so he is able to live through us and direct us and guide us. And there's a battle, Galatians 5 says, between the flesh and the spirit. The flesh doesn't want to yield. The flesh wants to be in control. So there's this sense of, okay, I have to seek the Lord and call upon his name. I have to walk in the light with him. I have to deal with sin. Those things are all true. But the power to live the Christian life doesn't come from me. It comes from him. And sanctify Christ. Set him apart as Lord in your hearts. And so when we do that, that's when we shine, that's when we make a difference, that's when the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him goes forth in every place we go. So that's how I would understand that. I appreciate it, Ronnie. Thanks so much for the call. God bless you, brother. Well, we have Mona on the line from Kentucky. Mona, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor Jeff.
Good morning.
Just a few things. First, let's praise God that she has a small congregation. Okay.
Yeah.
And I do want to say that you know, when I started, I was saved about 27 years ago. And for the first 15 years, I did not hear or someone did not tell me to be reading the scriptures myself. But for the past 12 years, I've been really reading the scriptures. Mm-hmm. And that's encouraged by Paul, right, that we check our teachers, our pastors, with our own knowledge.
Right.
And we're also warned that to not desire to be a teacher because we're held to a higher standard. So this pastor is in real trouble,
right?
Because she is being held to a higher standard. And lastly, she's not heeding the warning in Revelation, not to add to or take from the word. And when I found my new church, when I moved rurally a couple years ago, those are the questions I asked my own pastor, which is, if you add to the word or take away from it, I said, you know, I'm a northerner here living in the South. I said, I will shoot up from the back of this pew here in the back of the church and holler out heretic, and I'm leaving, because you should not mislead anyone, because you are going to be held to a higher standard. And he laughed, and we're really good friends now, because he is a truth teller, I'm a truth teller, and he's leading his congregation in the way that's right. And so I want to just praise God that for the people who are heeding the warning from God's word by reading the word themselves and checking people and guarding their heart. And, you know, as we're warned in the last days, many could be deceived. Even the elect could be deceived. But, you know, Jesus being our intercessor, I believe he's up there praying for me to not be misled, right, to have that discernment. So right. That's all I got to say. Thank you.
Yeah, that's good. Very good. Very good points there, Mona. I want to call that, as I read your name, I want to call you Mona, because I had a friend of mine, that Mona Shook, and her dad was Damon. That was my pastor. So he had a daughter, and he named his daughter Mona after him. But Mona from Kentucky. Yeah, you're exactly right. And so, yeah, it's Acts 17:11 that tells us, but these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica. For they, when they heard the word preached, they received it with gratitude, with joy, and they examined the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. I got an email from somebody that said, be a Berean, question everything. I was like, yeah, but that's not what the Bereans did. It was he had twisted Acts 17:11. The Bereans didn't question everything. They received the word with great eagerness. They accepted it, but they said, well, now we're going to verify whether these things are so. They would examine the scriptures to say, okay, what does the Bible say? Go back to the source. And as the musical group Farrell and Farrell used to sing, you got to find it in the Word. And when you hear teaching, when you hear preaching, and if it's something that you say, you know, I've been in church for a long, long time, I've never heard X, then be careful with that, because the rule of thumb is typically true. If it's new, it's not true. If you're the first person that's ever come up with this in the centuries of church history, it's probably because it's not true. You're making it up, or it's a doctrine of demons, and the devil he's not just a liar among many liars. He's a master liar, and we're seeing in our world today, especially in the church today, so many lies going out from the pulpit. And it's incumbent on Christians, don't stay in a church that is teaching lies. Just as Mona said, hey, I'm going to get up and leave if you're preaching lies, you're adding to or taking away from the scripture. Don't stay in that church, because you're being poisoned. And so leave there, and give your pastor the benefit of the doubt. You know, we can get some things wrong, maybe meet with him and say, you said this, is that what you really believe? Because I was doing my homework as a Berean. And so maybe he was wrong and said, oh, I misspoke. And so he can correct that. But hey, we need to be in a place that's speaking the truth in love. And we need to be, as Christians, speaking the truth in love. That is our mandate from the Lord. Well, God bless you today. Go out, shine for Christ, share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you as his witness. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.